did not work, so we've got to be tough.
More than 70 people were shot over the weekend in Chicago, a surge in gun violence. It has local police blaming gang violence and access to guns. Now, there are many folks as well that are calling for Mayor Rahm Emanuel to resign due to the fact that he is not able to control the violence going on in his city. This is USA Radio News.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-204-2650 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-204-2650. Again, 800-204-2650.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Good afternoon. The weather today, isolated showers and thunderstorms, but it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 93. The heat index value is as high as 101. West winds around 5 miles an hour. And tonight, patchy fog after 1 a.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 69 and calm winds. Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 2 p.m., patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 91. Calm winds becoming southwest around 6 miles an hour in the afternoon. The chance of precipitation is 30%, and the new rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch. Tuesday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 72. Southwest winds 3 to 5 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch again. Wednesday night, guess what? A chance of showers and thunderstorms. It was Wednesday during the day, not night. But it'll be partly sunny. Well, I can speak, actually. Partly sunny with a high near 89. Calm winds becoming southwest around 6 miles an hour in the afternoon. The chance of precipitation is 40%. Wednesday night is a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 69, and the chance of precipitation is 40%. Thursday be mostly sunny with a high near 86, and Thursday night is mostly clear with around 65. Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses, and what we try to do is we try to help people who have someone either in their family or someone they work with or someone they know real well who has a mental issue, mental health issue. And we do this in various ways. We run a support group on the third Thursday of every month from 7 to 8:30 at 52 East Main Street. We run classes. We have what they call a family-to-family class, which is going to start in September on the 15th. And it is a 2.5-hour course, 12-week course for 2.5 hours each time. And it will be held at the Hunterdon Medical Center, and it will be held on Saturday. And you do not have to be a member of NAMI to go or join, but you do have to register. And we do have what they call a basics course, which is for families who have teenagers under the age of 18 or younger children who have a mental health issue. If you need more information or about any of the classes or support group, like I said, you don't have to be a member of NAMI to come to the classes or the support group. You can reach out to us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have someone man the phone 24/7, but we do have a lady who checks it at least twice a day, and she will get back to you. Today, we are very fortunate to have with us Susie Gookin, who is a local music teacher. She's written a book, The Camouflaged Heart, and she has her service dog, Sailor, with her, which we will talk about in just a few minutes. Welcome, Susie, and thanks for taking the time out to come.
Oh, thank you.
We really appreciate it. We have a lot to discuss, so we're going to get started, okay? Can you start by giving us some background on your trauma and, like, when it started and how and that sort of thing?
Sure. I was hurt about 18 years ago, 20 years old, in two car accidents that were about two months apart. And both times I didn't have any physical, like, outer visible injuries,
right,
but I ended up with brain injury both times. And then later developed PTSD and also had amnesia from it. So I lost all of my memory prior to age 20.
Wow.
But it took a little while to figure out how much was missing.
Right.
You're dealing with the
right.
immediate symptoms first.
Could it be from the shock of, like, I'm sure you had a seatbelt on, right?
Sure,
it was probably the shock of the going forward and backwards.
Right. The brain hits the front of the skull and the back of the skull.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, do you recall any of it now? Is it better now, or is it about the same, or?
No, I mean, with the help of therapy, I mean, we've done a lot of cognitive work in developing new neural pathways to be able to function better from day to day, but there's still recognizable damage from it.
Yeah. In your book, you speak about your trauma and the connection you made with the soldiers at Fort Dix and McGuire. Could you speak to that a little bit, how you got involved down in Fort Dix and stuff?
Sure. I first started out volunteering with the USO, just feeding the troops coming back from the war in Iraq and then later Afghanistan. And while I was there, the Vietnam veterans kind of took notice of me. They noticed that I was a bit different than other people volunteering there. I was not as social, and I tend to be gravitating towards soldiers that were a little glazed over coming through the door. Didn't seem to be as open and excited to be home. I seemed to be a bit of a magnet to them, and also them to me.
Right.
So we started talking, and one of the Vietnam vets came over and asked me if I would consider going over to the medical hold with them. And they would go over there once a week as a group and bring chili and food and play cards and games with the guys. And they made me a part of that, and that's where I really learned a lot about my condition.
Yeah. You know, they have the same problem as you do, so it's like you could relate. You know, it's not like you're somebody that doesn't know what they're speaking about or what they're going through because you've gone through it.
Sure.
You know, it's similar to us teaching the classes and running a support group for NAMI. My wife and I have been through it. You know, our youngest son has paranoid schizophrenia, and he was hospitalized for almost 3 years in the state hospitals and in and out of hospital after that, more times we care to remember. So when we talk about mental illness and, you know, in families and stuff like, we know what we're talking about, you know.
Sure.
It's the same thing with you. People relate to that, you know, because you've been there. And it's not like you're just somebody that read a book and is going down there. I mean, not that that's wrong and that they don't help, but it's easier to interact with someone who has been there and knows what the other person is going through.
Right. And trauma is a very big umbrella. There's lots of sources of it. But I have found that connection over all of these years that people have been through trauma regardless of what caused their trauma. There is a real connection and a bond there.
Yeah. And you brought your service dog with you. And her name is?
Sailor.
Sailor, okay. she in the Navy or
what? No, but she was taken out of the shelter by a Marine Corps family.
Oh, okay.
And they fostered her before I got her.
Oh, okay.
So that's how she got the name Sailor.
Okay. Now, how does... Are you? You're, I'm assuming you're still going through training with her?
Yeah,
or?
We're in a program together. Yes.
Okay. So if you need help, how does she know you need it?
Sailor is task trained for a variety of tasks, but she is able to sense, smell, and taste elevated cortisol levels.
Okay.
And she also recognizes a raised heart rate. So she knows to respond to me when those things start kicking off in me in regard to panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
She often is able to pick up on my distress before I'm even kind of aware that things are going to start escalating.
Okay. And so she picks up on it, then what happens? What does she do?
Well, with a variety of tasks that she is able to do, one of them is to block me going into crowded environments and to come between me and any other stressors that might be there.
Okay.
Because usually walking into crowded spaces, stores, and things like that is really hard for me. she's also trained to cover me from the back so that if somebody comes up behind me, they don't startle me. She'll alert me to that, and she'll lean right up against my legs by sitting behind me.
Right.
So if there's something I need to be aware of, I'm gonna feel her.
Sure.
There.
Sure.
she's also trained for deep pressure therapy, where she will come and put her body across my legs if I'm seated to calm me, and she puts her full body weight down on me, and that is it brings cortisol levels down. And if I'm standing and in distress, she is trained to jump up on me and get on my body from a standing position. So she'll jump up and put her paws on my shoulders and lick my face and push my chin and get me down to the ground where she can then get across my lap and do the deep pressure therapy.
Okay. When you were on the show a year plus ago, I think, or thereabouts, you didn't have a service dog. So
no.
What brought Sailor to come to being with you? I mean, you know, is it something that you asked for or thought you needed or somebody you suggested or?
Well, it was a little bit of a journey for us. I had a Marine that was coming to me that was going through a service dog program through my business office. And I learned a lot about his experiences going through his program with his service dog. And when I first met his dog, she came over to me and put her paws on my shoulders and just stared at me. And I thought, oh, gosh, this is really something. But I wasn't quite catching on yet. And then a few months, you know, after that, I don't know how many, I had been at a street fair, and there was a service dog organization there, and I started talking with them, and they said, you know, with the kind of work you do, you could have a dog with you. And I was like, really? I just didn't ever consider the idea of it.
Right,
so originally, when I was looking for Sailor, I was thinking that I wanted to get her to help other people. I was not thinking of myself.
Right.
And
you know, it's funny. I don't mean to interrupt, but when you see service dogs, it's usually with either people who are blind or have, you
correct.
Know, distracted vision, or they're physically handicapped in some way, shape, or form. And you don't think, or at least I never did, of a service dog helping someone with either PTSD or, you know, trauma or whatever.
Right.
I think it's awesome. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, that there are service dogs trained to do that, you
yes.
know. But I was not aware of it at all, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners weren't aware of it either.
Right.
Like I said, because you see somebody, you know, blind or, you know, with very limited vision or physically disabled, and they had the dog, and, you know.
Right.
But, and it's just, I think it's just cool, you know.
Yeah. Well, from that point, I ended up getting her, and she has quite a story herself. She had been malnourished when they took her out of the shelter, and I found her online. And when I spoke to the family, I told them the kind of work that I wanted her to do, and they thought that she would be awesome for it. They sent me videos of her and pictures. They told me she was good with kids. She already knew a few commands. The only thing was she was malnourished.
Right.
So when I got her, she was only 43 pounds. You could see her ribs sticking out. But she was the first adoptee of the day. I adopted her on Father's Day. So I always think my dad had something to do with that from above. and then that, I had her for almost a year, and I went into therapy again that April, the following April, and the therapist started to see a connection and a benefit in Sailor being with me, so she requested that I start bringing the dog with me.
Okay.
Because I started having a more frequent panic attacks and a lot of issues regarding the PTSD and the amnesia, and she felt that the dog would be a real benefit to me. So she started incorporating the dog into my therapy, and then that summer I was supposed to go away with my mom to visit family, and the therapist and I both agreed that we didn't think that I should be without Sailor, particularly for nighttime issues. That's the other thing she's trained for, is nighttime alerts. If I'm in distress during a nightmare and I'm not waking up from it, she will come and wake me up.
Okay.
by putting her paw across my arm. And then if that doesn't wake me, she will nudge me and push me and make sure I wake.
Right.
And then as soon as I am awake, she'll do the deep pressure therapy and get across my belly until I say I'm okay.
Yeah.
Once I say I'm okay, she goes and lays back down.
Okay.
But so with that, with being away without her, the therapist said, you know, we really need to have her with you because of the purpose she's serving. So she went to Texas with me as an emotional support animal first. And she was very well received there. And we had a really different experience. I didn't know that was going to happen. I knew I needed her, but I didn't realize how much.
Right.
And so while I was down there, I started to recognize that something else was kind of going on. So I started researching service dogs and civilians and just Googling all kinds of things to see if there was anything out there for somebody like me who already has a dog that is already kind of doing the work, but we need a trainer, we need guidance, we need to know how to do this the right way. And so I found a service dog organization, and we applied and had to be evaluated and all of that, because not every dog is fit to be a service animal.
Right. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us today Susie Gookin, who is a local music teacher, and she's written a book called The Camouflaged Heart, and she has her service dog, Sailor, with her today, and we've been talking about Sailor and how Susie got hooked up with her, and, you know, and it's been, to me, it's been very interesting, you know. Now, you said you're in an organization that helps. You train her?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is she still going through that?
We're still in the program. We've been in the program for about a year. and we have a trainer that's based out in Philadelphia who we meet with periodically, and we have different tasks that we have to accomplish. And it's been very, very useful. Challenging, but useful.
Okay.
we've had our challenges moving forward through the program. It hasn't been all easy. It's not like training a pet. It's much more detailed than that.
Right, right. Well, I would imagine it would have to be, you know. It's not like you just got a pet out of the shelter and, you know, you can play with it and that's it, you know. The dog has a purpose for helping you, so consequently, I would imagine there's a lot of training involved in it and such, you know. Why do you think the public needs more education on why service dogs are so important?
Service dogs are a medical device, and they're task trained to help a person with a disability. They're not considered pets, and there are misconceptions about the presence of service dogs in public, especially when it comes to the invisible wounds of PTSD and traumatic brain injury. You don't look injured. To see me on the street, right, people think that I look like a healthy young woman. Why on earth would I have this dog with me? So a lot of people don't associate a
right
need. They don't see the disability, so therefore they don't see a need. But as my trainer learned, the first time that she saw me in a grocery store, she within 3 minutes, she was able to really identify me.
Okay.
You know, and she yeah said, it's amazing. She said, you try to look as normal as possible because you don't want the attention. You don't want people to necessarily see your disability. But she said, you were really freaking out on the inside. She said, you were not functioning at all. So that's part of what we've had to work on is learning how to stay in charge of Sailor, learn how to command her in public, work as a handler and service dog team confidently, and still be able to deal with my episodes.
Do you bring Sailor to school when you teach?
Well, we're working towards that. That's part of what we're working towards in the program.
Okay.
Is taking that step. So okay, we still have a little bit to go, but that's where we're headed.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was, you know, I would assume it would have been, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Just out of.
That is where we're moving forward towards.
Okay. What is the difference between a service dog and an emotional support dog?
Emotional support animals are, they only have two allowances. One is a housing allowance, where if someone has a letter from their doctor or from their therapist stating that they need an emotional support animal for whatever their condition
mm-hmm
is,
right,
and they move into or live in a place that doesn't allow pets, those letters can serve as, you know, allowance for them to be able to have that
right
animal there
okay
with them.
Okay.
And also they're allowed to fly, again, with supporting paperwork and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The animal is allowed to be on the plane with them in the cabin.
Okay.
But that's it for an emotional support animal. They do not have the same public access rights as a service dog.
Okay.
Because a service dog is a considered a medical device, it goes everywhere a person goes.
Okay, so
it's like kind of like a person with a wheelchair. If they need their wheelchair goes with them everywhere they
right
go.
Right.
So the service dog goes with you everywhere that you go.
In a plane also?
Yeah, she sits in the cabin with me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's flown a few times now, and she does awesome.
Yeah.
She sleeps at my feet.
Yeah. She probably does better than I do when I was in the Air Force. Yeah.
But it's also, you know, it's a federal law that protects service dogs and their handlers. And, you know, they have to be task trained too. Emotional support animals are not task trained animals.
Okay. Okay. Should you approach someone with a service dog when it's working, like when it's doing something to help the person? You know, yes or no, or why or why not, you know?
Yeah, you really shouldn't.
Okay.
The presence of a service dog means that this person has a disability and is living their life with the help of a task-trained dog. When you interfere in that working relationship, it distracts the dog from its job and can cause a reaction in the handler. Now, that's not to say that I've never had anyone approach me where I was okay. I do appreciate when people will come up and say, can I ask you a question? And they approach carefully, because I've been in situations where we've really been rushed in public.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really scary because it triggers the PTSD in me, and it becomes a situation where the fight or flight kicks in and I have to get out of there.
Right.
And it can be very scary. And it also, once I'm triggered, then she's now in response mode. She's going
sure.
to start responding to me.
Sure.
And sometimes people don't understand her job and her role. So when they see her jump on me, they think that she's acting out of control when actually she's doing exactly what she was trained to do.
What she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Okay. What about in malls or department stores or, you know, large stores and stuff like that are crowded? How does that affect you and the dog?
It's taken a lot of practice because initially...
For you or the dog? Or both?
Both. Because as soon as I walk in, I feel the energy of the space and the people, and it draws a lot of attention. People stare, and they talk, and they whisper, and sometimes they talk really loud, and sometimes they approach too quickly, and that's been part of the real challenge of this. Mm. It's been very scary to go out in public because, again, PTSD and TBIs are invisible injuries, and now I've just put a neon sign on it on the side of my dog saying, I need this, I need her, I have something that you can't see, but yet there's still a lot of judgment that comes into it. So my heart rate, my cortisol levels, everything really elevates in those situations.
And you know, it's I don't like crowded malls because I don't like a whole lot of people around me, you know. And it's just, you know, but I can imagine with PTSD and trauma, and it could affect, you know, your thinking too. I mean, you know.
Yes, and that is a big part of it too, the thinking, because my injury to the brain is in the frontal lobe and the prefrontal cortex.
Right.
And that has to do with a lot of ordering, organizing, executive functioning. So if I'm feeling that level of stress, it also affects my ability to, like, to be able to think about, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, what is my next step? And I have to remember how to use my skills.
Right, right.
Because I really do lose my way. I lose, it turns into an episode of disassociation at that point where I just can't function.
And, you know, and that's... You know, how can I say it? It's like, do you find that you have these when you're teaching?
No, kids have always been an antidote for me. Being with kids is very natural. That part of my instinct has been intact.
Okay.
But the regulation of having Sailor with me, the neural pathways that are being formed
mm-hmm.
under her guidance are really important.
Right. All right. I want to just go off for a second here. Peaceful warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Would you explain that a little bit? I know that you are still involved with a large amount of trauma-sensitive meditation and energy work.
Mm-hmm.
Would you just explain
sure.
that?
Peaceful Warriors is my business office where I do teach trauma-sensitive meditation. I do energy work, and that was started from work that I had started doing out on the base with the soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I had started taking a meditation class for myself and started to see some real benefits in it and changes in myself. And the troops kind of noticed that I seemed a bit calmer and a bit different. They asked me what I was doing, and I told them about it. And they said, well, when are you going to teach us? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm not interested in being a yoga teacher. So I started looking things up again. I'm always researching things, and I found that I could be a meditation teacher without having to be a yoga teacher.
Right. Okay.
And I could work specifically with trauma, with people like myself and like the troops, and that really lit me up inside that I would have the opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up teaching out on the base and doing a presentation, which is where the book came from. The book is based on a presentation. And then following that, I ended up opening the business. And I thought originally that I would work with just military, but it really branched out to working with law enforcement and domestic violence, sexual assault, abuse. People have lost their lives in Hurricane Sandy.
Right.
I've had people with a variety of different medical issues.
Sure.
It's like I said earlier in our conversation that trauma is such a wide umbrella. There's so many things that fall under it. And I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of people who've had many different kinds of situations in their life, and I'm seeing the benefits of it. I'm seeing them respond beautifully to it.
And that's, well, you know, how does your services reduce the daily impact of the stress and trauma and anxiety that people have in their mind and their body? You know, and, you know, through energy work, what basically is energy work?
Well, I'm going to get back to the first part of that
okay.
question. With meditation is a tool that can be developed over time, and there's science to back up the benefits of it in the brain. But it's not a quick fix.
Right.
You can do it once and feel a little bit better. You can feel more relaxed, but the real changes come in the practice of it. That's why they call it a meditation practice. But it's helping to impact the nervous system, especially
okay.
if you're operating under the fight or flight, the sympathetic part of the nervous system from day to day, and
right.
you're not coming off of that. It's, you know, that's a trained pathway, the stress pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And with meditation, you tap into the parasympathetic part of the nervous system, which is our peace. That's our ability to step back and kind of evaluate and look at options. That's our creativity. That's our safety, our ability to thrive. So when you start building up that pathway in the brain and your connection to that part of the nervous system, you can start to see some real changes in how you feel and behavior and how your body feels, because you're not pumping all those stress hormones through your body.
Right, right. And people can meditate just about anywhere. I mean, they could do it at home or on the
right.
backyard or whatever, you know?
Right. And the idea is I don't teach people to be dependent on me as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I teach them the skill and give them the tools to be able to walk out of there
and do it
and
on their
employ
own.
It on
right.
their own
right.
and learn how to have the confidence to do it.
Yeah.
Because meditation is not something that's only for some people. It's even if you have serious trauma, you can do it. Everybody can meditate.
I find it hard, but but seriously, you know, if there have been occasions where we have a fairly big deck in the back, and we're
mm-hmm.
surrounded by woods. And I'll go back and just look at the trees and the birds and,
sure.
you know, and that, you know, calms me down,
yeah.
you know.
That's the idea of mindfulness, just being present, noticing what is.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you what mindfulness
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's what
know,
that is.
And that's what basically what
yeah.
you're saying. Okay.
There's mindfulness and meditation certainly can be the same thing, but they're not always the same thing.
Okay.
You can certainly employ mindfulness in, you know, in your everyday life, just being really present with what you're doing and, you know, like mindful eating. Really, do you ever really taste your food, or are you just kind of wolfing it down?
Yeah.
you know,
yeah.
that's just an easy example.
Right.
Just taking
right.
your time and really being present with what you're doing. And, you know, do you ever notice that you're breathing? Like, do you ever stop throughout the day to just take a breath that you can actually feel and be conscious of? Those are really simple practices.
Okay. All right, my next question. What's Reiki?
Oh, Reiki.
Reiki. I can't even pronounce it, let alone do it.
It's a form of energy healing where you place the hands over the body and you're working with the seven major energy centers down the center of the body. And each one of the seven major energy centers governs different functions in the body, emotional issues in the body, as well as just daily functioning. So like for instance, at the root, which is the lower or the first chakra, it's and that's what they're called. Chakra just means wheel. Sometimes people think it's this big mystical word. It just means wheel. That's it. And it's called called that because the energy spins in a wheel. It spins in a clockwise direction.
Okay.
And like just to give you an example, at the root, the first chakra, that governs our safety and our security. So if that's out of balance, oftentimes people have a real sense of fear.
Right,
there can be financial
right.
distress sitting there. There can be maybe a lack of shelter. A lot of different things that make people feel unsafe.
Interesting. No, you know, it is. And you also have a, say it for me, Reiki? How do you say it?
Reiki.
You have a Reiki healing group, too, you said, right?
Yes. I meet with them usually once a month, typically. We haven't met in the past couple months because I've been away. But, yeah, and we're people who are trained in Reiki. We get together and we work on each other. So it's kind of like healing the healers.
Yeah, okay.
Keeping the healers balanced so that they can go out and help others.
But how do you do that, then? What, do you do it to each other? Or?
Yes.
And when you say you place hands on...
You put your hands over the body, and I can physically feel the movement of energy in the energy field of the body. We all carry biofield energy in our bodies, and it's kind of like the way I explain it to the police officers that come to me, it's like sometimes they'll use heat sensors out in the world to find suspects, or if they're trying to find somebody who's lost or whatever it is that they use them for, what are they reading? An invisible energy. They're reading heat energy off of the body.
Right.
During Reiki, you can also feel that heat energy coming off of the body, but you can also feel that biofield moving. And if in those energy centers, the energy is not moving, if I don't feel any movement, it's blocked.
Okay.
And that usually relates to an issue that somebody's having in their life. So I stay with that center trying to get the energy moving, and I'm just acting like a conduit for the energy, and it gets it moving. And at the end, they usually are feeling quite a bit better. It's a little bit of a process as well, and sessions are cumulative.
Right.
Just like with meditation, nothing is ever a total quick fix. It takes time.
Not anything is a quick fix.
Yeah. You know? We absorb a lot of energy from our environments. And, I mean, cell phone energy you can't see. There's lots of energy we can't see.
Right.
But we just never think about our own energy and everything we're absorbing.
Right. What is... the Mindful Sailor website, what is that?
So I guess I'm not sure exactly when I had started that, but I started a website for Sailor about the time that we really started to build a bond with her going through therapy with me. And I started to tell some of the stories and situations about how I got her and some of the challenges that we faced and the journey from being an emotional support animal to becoming my service dog. Because I told you, when I first got her, I thought that I was getting her to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that she was coming to me
to
help
me.
I didn't know that's the direction things were going. But now she's, you know, such a huge help to me and supports me and is with me and always looking out for me.
So you made the website for Sailor, correct?
It's about Sailor.
It's about Sailor. Okay.
Yes. She can't read it.
Can't speak to it either.
She's good, but she's not that good.
But, and people could put comments on it or?
I don't think I have it set up for comments.
Okay.
But I do have my email address on there, so people can reach out to us.
Okay.
You know, if they'd like to. But there's pictures on there, and it talks about some of the more difficult issues we've had, especially with going into public. We haven't always had the best experiences in public, not because of us not working well together, but more because the public wasn't so accepting of us.
You know, it's amazing. There are so many good people in the world, but there's some that aren't, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, I don't know. How do you, verbally assault, for lack of better words, somebody who has a service dog? I mean, you know, really?
Yeah.
You know, if their mother or father had a, you know, a reason to have a service dog, you think they'd be verbally assaulting them or causing hard times for them? I doubt it.
Right.
You know, but it's just, you know.
Well, and I think now we're seeing more and more veterans with service dogs like her.
Right,
through a variety of different programs. So there are more people out there like us who maybe look okay but have this invisible problem where we need these dogs. And I'm friends with a number of vets with service dogs. And, you know, they've heard my story. They know the challenges that I've had. But I just believe in trying to educate as much as I can. I try not to get angry at those situations where we're maybe not treated so well, but I've decided to take a different approach with it and really compliment and show my appreciation for the people who do treat us right. For example, we just came back from Arizona and just 2 days ago, and on the flight out there, the cabin crew on American Airlines, they were so amazing and treated us so well. I mean, and I'm always scared going out in public, but they just were so kind to us.
Mm.
They came and brought her water. They kept checking in on her. They were checking in on me. They were just so good to us that I actually started keeping note cards in my purse so that when those situations come up, I let them know that this really meant a lot. This is not the norm. And I really appreciate it because I feel like you went above and beyond to make sure that not only were we safe, but we were comfortable and
right,
that we were okay.
Right. And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We have to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
traffic stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
100 Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back. This is Mental Health Matters. My name is Larry Cartwright. I'm your host. We're very privileged today to have with us Susie Gookin, who is a local music teacher, and she's written a book, The Camouflaged Heart, and she has her sailor, or she has her service dog Sailor with her. And we've been talking about the process of associating between the two, the dog, you know, Sailor and Susie, and different things, you know. And I know that there's been some problems sometimes when she was going out in public to navigate the public, and we talked a little bit about that. You said, I thought you said, that you have a challenge for going into a crowded area and stuff.
Yeah.
And so if you go into a mall, you may not go into a mall, but if you if you do go into the mall, that's got to be challenging right there.
Yeah, it's very overwhelming, particularly.
Yeah.
But that and grocery stores. Grocery stores are hard for me because of the overstimulation. It's like too much information in one place, too much unpredictable movement, having to look for things. It's like the brain really goes into overdrive.
You go with a shopping list?
Yeah, but sometimes it's hard when I get worked up to even read it.
Oh, okay.
So it's oftentimes I'll either, if I really can't handle it, I'll leave. And just whatever I needed on that list that day is not something I need that day anymore.
Right, exactly. You can do it out of, yeah.
So, but it's getting better. I'm learning to go in with just looking for a few items to really help Sailor and I to be able to, you know, learn to navigate together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a really good job with that. We're getting better and better at being able to, you know, work as a good service handler team.
Right. No, you know, like I said before, I'm not big on going into big crowded, mainly because a lot of people are not courteous and polite, you know, like you'd expect them to be.
Yeah.
And I can imagine, like with yourself, I mean, I don't have a service dog, you know, but, you know. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, I can totally agree. You know, I know what you're saying. You know,
and sometimes it's not always people being rude. Sometimes it's just natural innocence. She's a pretty dog. She's a German Shepherd, and she wears boots.
Yeah.
And she's a very loving animal. She has something special about her. And so sometimes it's people just wanting to rush up and pet her or say hello to her or tell me how cute she is. But I think what people don't realize is that that could happen hundreds and hundreds of times a day.
Yeah.
And it can be very overwhelming because it gets her distracted, and it's very overwhelming for me. And so it's sometimes it's just innocence. Which I'm learning to deal with a little bit better. I'm learning I don't have to give attention to everything. If I need to move along, I need to move along.
Right.
I can't be apologizing to to everyone for that. I'm there to, I have to function, and she is part of how I do it.
Right.
But there have been other times where we have been denied access to buildings, actually a hospital.
A hospital?
Yes.
They have service dogs at
a brain injury clinic, as a matter of fact. But the person at the desk just simply didn't understand the federal law.
Right.
So, but that was our first experience with being access denied. And I was really, it really shook me up.
I would imagine.
Threw me into a panic attack. So I called my organization, and that's what they're there for. They're there to not only train us, but also to advocate for, you know, for their their clients.
Right.
So that when situations like that come up, they have paperwork and they can be our voice in communicating with different organizations or businesses, because there's been issues with businesses, to let them know what the federal law is. That sailor is working as a service dog. She's not a pet.
Right.
You know,
right.
She's not coming in a shopping cart. She's not being, you know, carried in my arms. You know, and that is part of where some of the issues come up, too, because there are people out there who are taking their pets out, and service dogs are not allowed to be in carts. They're not allowed to be carried, no matter how big or small, because a service dog can be any breed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not just a...
Yeah, that was one of my questions.
Yeah,
I was gonna
it
ask
can be any,
you know.
Any breed, including pit bulls.
Okay.
But they have to be on all fours in
right.
order to be working
right.
because they have to have the, you know, I guess, I don't know if agility is the right word, but they have to be able to have the movement to be able to respond to you in the event that you
right.
have an issue.
Right.
They're task trained.
Right. Because I know I volunteer one day a week at the Hunterdon Medical Center, and I know they have service dogs come there all the time. Now they have dogs that come in to go to the... children's area,
and, right? Therapy,
you know,
dogs,
therapy yeah. dogs and stuff, you know, too. But they do have service dogs that come in with people, and you know, there's no problem. They, you know, they're a
right.
service dog. You let them in, you know.
Yeah.
And the therapy dogs, obviously, they come in and you know they go up to various patients and
yeah,
you know, and a lot of times the volunteer office will have a note. Oh, please see, you know, room 10 so, you know,
sure.
You know that sort of thing. And the dogs are just like, you know, they're so lovable. It's, you know,
yeah.
like they're like Sailor, you know.
Yeah.
But, all right, you had told me that you recently returned from a trip to Arizona, a
mm-hmm.
retreat.
Okay.
Hey, you just briefly tell us what that was about?
Sure. I was running a meditation and mindfulness retreat out in Arizona that was really about connecting mind, body, and spirit together. And I ran it up in Sedona. I have a business acquaintance there that owns a ranch.
Okay.
And so we held it at Sedona Sacred Rocks B&B. So it's a horse ranch.
I've been to Sedona numerous times.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. So it was at the horse ranch. So we did some really interesting activities. We learned about using the medicine wheel.
Okay.
Which is a Native American practice of really balancing... all of the parts of ourselves,
mm-hmm.
And not being too heavy in one area of our life, and
right.
you know, really learning how to be balanced. So we learned how to do that, and then we also worked with the horses. The horses were really interesting because we did a meditation prior to working with them, which was led by the owner of the ranch. Her name was Megan McHugh, and she led us in the meditation, and then we went to the horses, and we were able to paint symbols and things on the horses with this special paint. And that was one of the most therapeutic things, because I've had a bit of a mixed relationship with horses. I've always been a little bit fearful around them, and I've ridden them a few times. Actually fell off of one once. So that has certainly developed a fear for me. But it was so amazing to be able to paint on them just paint whatever it is that your mind sees.
Yeah.
And it was so amazing. They were so gentle.
Right,
you have that
right.
the surroundings of the beautiful red rocks, and it mm-hmm. I found that to be very therapeutic.
That's wonderful. If someone wanted to reach out, because we only got about 2 minutes left, if someone wanted to reach out either for the website or to make an appointment with you or talk to you about something, how would they do that?
They can email me at peacefulwarriormeditation@yahoo.com. Or they can reach out through my website, peacefulwarriormeditation.us.
Okay.
Or they can visit the Mindful Sailor website,
okay.
mindfulsailor.com.
Okay.
And you'll see our faces on both websites.
Okay. Now, do you have an office phone number that they could call if they had to?
Sure. Yeah, the number is 609-713-5435.
Okay, that's 609-713-5435. And the website is What?
Peaceful Warriors. It's www.peacefulwarriormeditation.us.
Okay. And the other one was Mindful?
Mindful Sailor. www.mindfulsailor.com.
Okay. Susie, I can't thank you enough for coming. I really, you know, appreciate it. And we have to stay in touch, and I will have you back again. I know after you go back to school and such, it's a little difficult because of, you know, working, obviously.
Sure.
But I will have you back. We will have a time when you can come back again. I know that for a fact. We will have it. And I look forward to seeing Sailor again.
Oh, thank you. <know? laughs> Thank you for having both of us.
And it's just been wonderful, you know. It really has, and, you know. I thank you for all you do and the people you help, you know, and it's just wonderful. It really is. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back same time, same station next week. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. See you next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot in Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot in Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health.